Other horns don't.
Everything that we do every day, we want to be a champion.
Get your mind right and let's go. Do the little things. Win every day.
It's the someplace they play football.
Everything with an attitude.
Alabama, you listen.
I don't give a shit who we're playing.
Dominate the guys we're playing against and make his ass quit. That's our framework. That's our MO as a team.
Richardson breaks free on the sideline.
This is a mauling, folks, a mauling.
Hear the tide, honey badger.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Tommy, the season is here. The season is here. This is our Virginia Tech Alabama pregame show.
Man, it is long overdue. I am ready to watch some football.
Absolutely. Well, man, we're going to be at the game. Very excited. But why don't we break down a little bit of the game? You know, kind of pick your poison when we have the ball or they have the ball, you know, kind of pick a side and talk us through it.
Man, I think the first theme needs to be just the pure disarray that this football team is facing. I mean, you and I, when we previewed Alabama and we talked about all the depth and all the, you know, all the guys that have got all the experience that are, you know, filling in and going to fill in where we need gaps. Man, when I was studying up on this Virginia Tech team, it reminds me of the long, long pre-Saban days with the Brian Motleys of the world, where we were sitting there a week before the first game and moving an offensive lineman to nose guard because we had nobody. And so when I was looking at this stuff, man, it was just outright scary. I mean, when you look at a high level, you hear, oh, yeah, you know, they were 7-6 last year and they're returning 4 starters on offense and they're returning 9 starters on defense. And defense is going to be sound. Well, guess what, man? Let's just start with defense, okay? This is just total BS, okay? First of all, they have got a true freshman playing cornerback after one of their 2 starting cornerbacks got hurt in January, and he's not going to play until ACC play. So how much are our receivers going to like? How much is Amari going to like a true freshman matchup? They've only got 4 guys on their defense that started all games last year. They've got a starting linebacker who's only played 1 game. They got an outside linebacker thanks to another injury that's going to be a walk-on. They got 2 other guys that only played in 6 games and 8 games. I mean, and all the backups are walk-ons and redshirt freshmen. And so on the defensive side of the ball, you're basically looking at senior leadership from the front 4 and the middle linebacker, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, they're definitely banged up. You know, at one corner spot, they're going to have Kyle Fuller, a senior, and then there's 2 freshmen, you know, true freshmen. You know, they were both early enrollees, so they have a little more time, you know, going through spring drills and going through fall drills. But Brandon Faxon and Kendall Fuller, actually, you know, Kyle's brother, you know, were both 4-star recruits. You know, Brandon was the number 26 cornerback. Kendall was the number 5 cornerback. He was actually their highest rated recruit on their whole, you know, roster coming in with the signing class. But they're both true freshmen. And it's not that there's 2 freshmen in the 2 deep. It's there's 2 of the 3 freshmen, you know, 2 of their top 3 corners are true freshmen. It's not, well, a freshman will see the field. It's there will not be a time where there's not a freshman out on the field, and sometimes potentially even 2 at the cornerback positions. And if they go into a nickel, which I would imagine maybe they try to cover their backside with some nickel coverages, there's still going to be multiple freshmen in the backfield. And when we talk about our receiving core maybe being the best receiving core in the history of our school, and aside from true freshmen, everyone's back. You know, Kenny Bell Sr., Norwood Sr., you know, Amari Cooper, one of the best receivers in the country.
Right.
Christian Jones Jr., you know, DeAndre you know, White Jr. You know, pick your, you know, who do you take away from us? And then even if when you pick the guy you want to try to take away, can you even take away the guy you want to take away because you're playing with so many freshmen back there?
Oh, sure. And so their free safety and their Rover both started 13 games. But I just wanted, you know, all 13 games. But I just wanted to point out that with this youth at cornerback, unfortunately due to one injury to their other 2012 starter who still hasn't recovered from his knee injury, I mean, they are so susceptible on the outside. And then when you look at linebacker, one linebacker who's going to be thrust in, Josh Tremble, because of the year-end injury to Ronnie Van Dyke. He's a walk-on. Mm-hmm. His backup is a walk-on. And Tariq Edwards, the other linebacker, only started one game last year. So yeah. So my point is that with the versatility that this offense brings to the table, and also, too, they're not real big up front. No. So the two defensive ends are running 240, 250. And one other thing I'll mention is they've got a kid named Corey Marshall who just got moved. Corey Marshall just literally was moved from defensive end, where he played last year, to defensive tackle. So he just got moved 2 weeks ago to be a backup nose guard at 250 pounds.
Yep.
Well, he just left the team, okay, for personal reasons.
Yep.
So when I talk about disarray, they've had two cornerbacks leave the team since last year, one offensive lineman, one defensive end, running back dismissed in July by the student board of the university, a wide receiver kicked off the team, and they've got three players gone for the year with season-ending injuries.
Yeah.
So I just can't – I mean, that's huge. You've got 8 to 10 players who are off your team from the season before.
Yeah, and a lot of those, you know, even after spring drills, you know, we're talking about their defense, and so, you know, we'll talk about this guy on offense and defense, but Wyatt Teller, a true freshman defensive tackle, has been moved to left tackle on the offense, and so we can talk about that on the other side of the ball, but that speaks yes. to, you know, depth.
Days ago,
across the defensive front. And so I'll say this, and we talked about this in the pregame show last year for Michigan. We started looking up just looking at the matchups, you know, our offensive line versus their defensive line and the size disparity. And pretty quickly, I think we both came to the idea that we're going to be able to move the ball against these guys just because of the size differential, and they're moving people around. People are playing out of position, not what they're used to, new positions. And so even if their frontline guys are relatively stout, there's no depth behind it. Well, this team is even less of what Michigan was last year. Now, yes. Our offensive line isn't as good. I get that. But I think our drop-off in offensive line isn't nearly as precipitous as their drop-off on their defensive front. And that doesn't even speak to their drop-off on their back eight. So I think that. Now, how will we attack on offense? I don't think necessarily our immediate attack will make that much of a difference. And we're going to do things really to scare defensive coordinators for the rest of the season. There's sort of a fan mentality of don't show more than you have to. But I think Saban is the opposite of that. He wants to show as much as he can, because then you have to prepare for it. You remember a couple years ago when Julio was a true freshman and, oh, it leaked this footage of him catching a long touchdown pass from spring or from fall practice?
Yes, yes.
Footage just doesn't leak from a Saban practice, right?
Right.
It just doesn't, whoops, that happened. It leaked because Saban knew what kind of weapon he had and no one else knew what kind of weapon he had. So he needed people to know what kind of weapon he had. So that, you know, kind of take that mindset. He operates from a sense of abundance. And so he's going to go out and show. We're going to come out in five wides. We're going to come out in four wides. We're going to come out in bunch, you know, two and three tight end personnel. We're going to take two. We're going to come out in a bunch formation with two tight ends, and we're going to motion them out. And now we've got four wide with O.J. Howard and Fowler. I just think that, you know, we're going to come in with two running backs and motion one out into the slot. We're going to go empty backfield. We're going to run some pistol. And some people consider that an offense versus, you know, just a formation. We're going to see so much variation. And so this Virginia Tech defense, I'm sorry, their number came up at the wrong time, because we could play anyone and we would do this. This is not so much our game plan to beat this team. This is our game plan to scare defensive coordinators, and especially to make Texas A&M think about what they have to prepare for. Now, Virginia Tech just happens to be uniquely poorly equipped to handle this, because they've got so many people out of position, new to positions, new to college football, and then now they've got to play against a team that theoretically is proficient at multiple styles of offense.
But yeah, this is not even a fair matchup. There will be no comparison to the game that we witnessed in 2009 to kick off the season that Alabama won 34-24. No. There will be no, because then you have a Greg McElroy in his first game as a starter, right? This is, and now you've got AJ McCarron, fifth year senior, two national championships on his belt. I mean, as I was looking at this defense, this is just not even fair. I mean, literally, it kind of reminds me of the national championship game against Notre Dame. Okay. The very first play on offense, oh, they stopped us at the line of scrimmage, and everybody was like, oh, Notre Dame, Notre Dame. Well, Notre Dame had a much deeper front seven. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, the very next play, we do play action. And we throw to a wide open receiver in the flats, and we open them up, and the game is over. Well, I see us coming out to open this game in the pass. And Literally, when we go four wide and five wide, and they got to bring both of those true freshmen on the field at the same time, they're going to be swimming. This is going to be a long game for Virginia Tech.
Yes. Yeah, I completely agree. This is as close as to feeling bad for an opponent as I think I ever have. You know, when we play a Georgia State, for example, look, that's not a contest and everybody knows it, but they're coming to collect a payday to sustain their athletic program. So I don't feel bad for them in that sense. Their athletic administration is putting their team in a sacrificial lamb position for the sake of funding their athletic program, right? And so I don't really feel bad for them. This is a perennial 10-win team, highly respected team, highly respected coaching staff. They're going to get caught with their pants down.
Oh, and sure.
I don't know how to say it.
There's no other way to say this.
It's going to be pretty embarrassing for them.
Oh, sure. And for the listeners, let's go ahead and flip to offense for a second, okay, just so we can be consistent here. So on offense, we start off with the returning quarterback in Logan Thomas that, you know, was highly heralded, that had 18 touchdowns versus 16 interceptions last year. Well, his top receiver, Marcus Davis, who had 51 catches last year, is gone. Okay. His next weapon at split end, DJ Coles, well, he's not 100% yet from a knee injury. And oh, by the way, the other flanker only started 3 games last year. And then, oh, by the way, like you said, at the offensive line position, we've got converted defensive lineman and Wyatt Teller. We have two true freshmen that are going to be playing in this game, starting with left tackle Jonathan McLaughlin. I mean, he joined the team in January, and he is a starter. We got two other guys with 6 starts and 5 starts. And then the other tackle, he only played in 22 offensive plays in all of 2012. So let me set that up. One tackle has only taken 22 snaps of college football, and the other tackle is a true freshman that joined your team in January.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. I want to go back to the wide receivers. You mentioned DJ Coles not 100% healthy. You know, he's a senior, but he's missed most of the last 2 seasons to injury. So, you know, what he's coming back to, he's certainly going to have reduced speed. You can anticipate that. One of their more experienced is a redshirt freshman who only has 1 catch under his belt. They have a sophomore with 19 catches, and then their 4th most experienced wide receiver has played 30 snaps. So we're going to bring out a 4 receiver set that has more experience than every receiver they're going to play in the game.
Oh, sure.
It just is a point of comparison. That's before you even get to their running back.
I started to say, go ahead and talk about running back for a second. That's supposed to be the strength of their team, right?
Well, their number one running back has 2 sprained ankles. Their number 2 running back, unfortunately, has had an injury that effectively for him is a career-ending injury. You know, feel bad about that. They've had a player, as you referenced, was kicked off the team. And then they've got another running back. We're talking to the depth of their team, right? So we're 4 deep. He's facing a 1-game suspension,
He's a former wide receiver last year, by the way.
And then so they've got redshirt freshman Trey Edmonds, who was a 3-star recruit when he came out 2 years ago and was the 69th ranked athlete. So that doesn't mean he can't be good. It just means there's no depth.
Okay, you got to let me jump in here for a second when you're talking about Trey Edmonds, okay? Because this to me was the kicker. This is from their second scrimmage on Saturday. right? You've already lost these running backs. You already know that you've lost your two top running backs, right? So what do you do in the scrimmage? You play the first team against the second team, and yet walk on Maurice Taylor, who played with the third team offense, led all rushers with 54 yards on six carries. Your projected starting tailback carried the ball one time, and the running back's coach, Shane Beamer, I wish we had gotten him more carries.
Well,
how does that happen? How does that happen that he gets one carry in the game that is the second of three scrimmages as a redshirt freshman who's never played college football, and he's going to be your starter against the national champion?
Well, it's because they're such a mash unit. He's on the bubble wrap team.
He's at a
place in his career development where he needs those practice reps, but because he's the only healthy running back on the team, you can't risk getting them hurt the way people are getting down. And so it's from a developmental standpoint, it's negative for him, but it's what you have to do. Again, you know, from a roster management standpoint, they're just doing roster management from a position of weakness versus roster management from a position of strength.
Well, I got one more good one for you, right? So basically, Logan had 18 touchdowns and 16 picks last year, right? So throwing picks was something that he did a lot of, right? Well, he played most of his snaps Saturday against the second team defense, which we've just said is pretty much redshirt freshmen and walk-ons. He finished the day with two interceptions. He was 5 for 15 for 72 yards, one touchdown, and two picks. So his two picks came against the backups. The only touchdown he threw was to that kid Stanford, who's only played in one game, and he beat that true freshman Fuller for the one touchdown.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, the defense, where the second string got to play the first string, they had eight sacks on the day. Eight sacks. Why? Because they're going against those tackles who are brand new.
Yeah.
So when I was looking at this stuff, I was like, oh, my goodness. I mean, you said it best a minute ago when you said, I've never felt sorry for a team. Well, you know what? I feel sorry for Beamer because I respect the hell out of him.
Yeah.
This couldn't happen at a worse time for this team.
No, it really couldn't, you know, kind of given how things have unfolded for them. You know, Logan Thomas is someone that, you know, some scouts speculated could have left to go pro last year. I think coming back was certainly the best decision. He had 3,000 yards passing, just a shy under 3,000 yards passing, but he, you know, completed 51% of his passing. Now he's in a troubling situation where it may be he may have a hard time replicating those numbers with the receiving core and the linemen that he has.
Yes, so I don't know what the spread is now. I know the line early was 17 points, but I just have to say that if I was still a betting man, I think I'd have to be putting money on the home team on this one.
Well, be careful saying that because Vitek is considered the home team in this one, although they're gonna do a whiteout. So
I think I meant the home team as the team we do a podcast for.
Well, I know, but I just want to be very careful for the persnickety fans out there. But
this is not going to be close, man. I want you to give me your score, but this is not even going to be close.
No, let's do this even just by comparison. I looked up at their stats for last season. They finished, 79th rated offense rushing, 64th rated offense passing, 81st total offense, 81st scoring offense. Total defense, they were ranked 18th. And scoring defense, they were ranked 32nd. And the teams that I found that looked closest to them across the board in their rankings, and it's not perfect, but it's very, very close, ironically, were Michigan and Mississippi State. And okay. So even if they were full strength and as good as they were last year, which I think we've run down that's not going to be the case, they were numerically comparable with Mississippi State and Michigan. And if I recall correctly, I think those were teams that we did pretty well against.
We did. We did. We got a 41-14 score and a 38-7 score.
Yeah. So I had predicted 41-6 for this game. And then that was really before the, you know, kind of the MASH squad updates came in. I don't know that I want to pile on and make that a 51-3, you know. I don't know that I want to do that. I don't know that Saban, you almost have to factor in the Saban factor here too. I don't know that he's going to want to embarrass a team. And if we can see these stats, Saban's not stupid. He knows that too. And you know, he's going to have some respect through the coaching ranks of a Beamer. So I don't think necessarily, you know, we're going to put some things on film and we're going to move the ball around. And the game from a contest standpoint will be over early. And then it'll just be fun to kind of watch to see what we do in personnel groupings and how we try to move the ball. But I think they will struggle, even as we rotate guys in, they will struggle to keep us out of the end zone. And so I think 41-6 is representative, but it won't be that close.
No, I think the only thing that Virginia Tech has going for them is Beamer. And whereas the game in 09 was 34-24 and Virginia Tech obviously had a much more talented team that year, I don't think we see 40 points unless a Derrick Henry breaks it up the middle or a Jalston Fowler breaks it up the middle and pisses off Saban. This is going to be A-Day game part two. You and I are going to love the second half because we're going to get to see a lot of good stuff that helps us for the rest of the season. I see this staying a 31-17 kind of game. Ooh. Not because, well, no, I'm sorry, 31-10, okay? They're going to get a touchdown. And I'm going to say 31-10 just simply because, you know, my gut wants to say 31-3, to be quite honest with you. But something's going to happen, and I see a 31-10, and I don't see us scoring more than 31 just out of respect for Beamer. Because if this was an Auburn, if this was some rivalry game, you'd be looking at a 50-3 type of ball game. But Beamer and the respect of Saban keeps this from being a blowout.
I don't think, and I see this recognizing what I'm saying, I don't think you'll be able to throttle our team back. I don't think you'll be able to keep our team from scoring 31 points.
Well, that's
unless
very
you just
possible.
Start running fullback dives in the second quarter.
Well, Blake Sims, man, I'm going to get frustrated. We're going to see Blake Sims going to rush for 100 yards in this ballgame.
Oh, yeah.
Not really, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, hey, listen, let's quickly
talk about the recent development on the defensive side of the ball before we wrap up that I do think is going to make us make a call earlier than we wanted to about that star position.
Yeah. You know, we recorded – you know, the irony's not lost on me. We recorded Saturday night, and then, of course, later Saturday night, Geno Smith, who we talked in high regard, and we talked about the significance of his position relative to what we want to do on defense in that star position. And he, you know, he goes out and gets a DUI, and at the time of this taping, which it's Monday evening, at the time of this taping, there has not been any announcement as to suspension. Now, I think we have to assume that there will be a suspension.
Yes.
And I think Coach Saban is doing, you know, everyone sort of wants immediacy. Kick him off the team immediately. Well, let's kind of figure out the situation. We don't want to throw a baby out with a bathwater situation. I think he's not
getting kicked off the team. This is
no, and I think yeah, I think that he comes from a family, and I think that he comes, you know, a good family, a respected situation. I think, you know, hey, if we were kicking people out of college for DUIs, then, you know, I wouldn't have made it. So, and I don't say that frivolously because I get the significance of the infraction, but I also think there's a reality that says, you know, hey, this happens, you know, in every city every day. And, you know, he got caught, should have gotten caught, did get caught, should be punished, will be punished. It's just a magnitude. And we don't know that. And so I'm going to assume that there will be a suspension. And the question becomes the duration of that suspension. And so if he's suspended for Virginia Tech, I'm not, other than just the interpersonal frustration and the development that he'll need to go through, I'm not worried about us competitively on the field against Virginia Tech.
No.
If he's suspended for two games, then that gets into Texas A&M, and that's where I'm a little more concerned from a competitive situation because, and we've, you know, great, we spent a lot of time talking about, you know, he started playing the star after we lost that game. And so we're going to be ironic then if he misses that game this year. I'm not lobbying one way or the other. I'm just saying if it's two games, then I start to become concerned. And so let's assume that it is two games. And then let's talk through the impact. And let me throw mine out, and then, you know, you can kind of react to
okay.
that.
Okay.
I think, and we talked about when we talked about defensive backs, we talked about it'll be interesting to see how we rotate some of the younger guys into the corner positions and into maybe free safety positions as games go on and see who's the guy who gets the most reps. Who's the guy that comes in the earliest and stays in the latest, because that's going to be our signal as to who's kind of next up in some of these positions. And I would not be surprised against Virginia Tech to see Vinny come in and maybe start at the star, because he's done that before. But very quickly, as we get into the game, we're going to see someone else rotate into that star and then play probably well into the third quarter, maybe into the fourth quarter. And so take, for example, a Landon Collins, who may come into the star, or a Cyrus Jones may come into that star maybe in the second quarter and play through halftime, through the third quarter, maybe first possession of the fourth quarter. I think we may see someone like that come in and get a bunch of reps at that star position in preparation, not because we need them to beat Virginia Tech, but in preparation for that next week's performance.
I can see that. I think because of what we have uncovered as we have broken down the Virginia Tech roster, I'm not as concerned about a Vinny in the slot with help over top,
right,
as I would be for other teams. I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see a Cyrus Jones and a Landon Collins, and maybe you see a little platooning at the star position, because we are trying to see who would be that guy in the Texas A&M ball game.
Yeah, I think that's what it boils down to, and I think it could be Cyrus. I think it's going to be Vinny to start the game. And again, I share your sentiments there, but I think quickly we get a Cyrus and or a Collins in there. They may be auditioning during practice, but maybe we get them both some reps against a live opponent. You know, the plus would be that we do have the week off, and so let's get them both out there against live fire, put some of their play on film that we can come back and analyze with them in preparation, and kind of match that up against some of the A&M prep. So, you know, I say that's how we're going to handle it. And so from some respects, that's going to be a fun thing to kind of watch.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to watch that. The fun thing about that for you and I, okay, is who's it going to be first? Because we've said that the star position has been more effective under this program with it being a cornerback,
yep,
right? Geno Smith will never be a safety, okay? Right. Landon Collins is probably the build of a safety.
Yes.
Okay. Cyrus Jones is possibly a tweener. So yeah. I think because Cyrus has the range and the cover skills, it'll be very interesting to see who comes in first. And so because of the play we saw at the A-Day game when he was recovering to help on Kenny Bell, I think you might see it Cyrus Jones.
No, that's fair. That's fair. And we may see, because Landon Collins has been running at the dime back when we go to six, we may see, not because we need this matchup against Virginia Tech, but we may see more dime coverage so that we can practice the dime, so that we're essentially, I hate to say this about Virginia Tech because, you know, they're a respected program, but we may run dime just to practice it against a live team.
I think it's a great call on your part. We might see more dime than we do nickel because of that.
Yep.
And therefore we've got Ha-Ha and Vinny and Landon and Cyrus in the game at the same time.
Yep. Yep. So that's going to be interesting to see. I hate it. You know, I hate what he did, but I still think Geno is someone that's going to be on the team. I think he's still someone that's going to, you know, contribute. I do think he will be suspended. I do think he should be suspended. It's just, is it going to be one game? Is it going to be two games? You know, there's a part of me that says, you know, there's a part of me that says it probably needs to be two games. There's a part of me that says, gosh, I hope it's only one.
Yes.
And, well, you know, I'm a fan, so I can get away with saying that. But, you know, there's some reality there, too.
Oh, sure. And the good news is we've got guys like Cyrus Jones and Landon Collins who I think can step up. And I think it'll be a good, your number's called, and now it's time to deliver.
Yep. Yep. All right. Well, no, I think we had to touch on that, and so I'm glad we spent some time with it. I think it's going to be a fun game. You know, these
fun kickoff game for classics
are
fan.
Always, well, yeah, these kickoff classics are fun, and we certainly certainly have enjoyed them, you know, lately. I don't think the excitement is quite what it was last year in Dallas, you know, against a Michigan and in Dallas and in the Jarrah Dome, and, you know, that was very exciting. This will be our third time in Atlanta, second time against this team. I think it's still going to be a good environment. It's going to be a lot of Alabama fans there. I think Virginia Tech was selling some of their tickets in the open market, and I think Alabama fans, us included, scooped up quite a number of them. So
absolutely.
So I think it's gonna definitely feel like a home game. We'll get to wear our home reds. I think they're going to do a whiteout, which again is just that doesn't bode well for them either. But no. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time for Bama fans. So I hope everyone is going to be there. Again, we're sponsoring a contest to give away a couple of tickets. If you've listened to us through these shows, you have the details on that. We have some write-up on our website, basically alabamafootballpodcast.com. Go purchase a copy of our Alabama viewing guide and be entered into a contest to win two tickets to the Virginia Tech game. With that, Tommy, I think we survived a long off season and we're days away from a game. So that's quite exciting, huh?
It is, man. This is going to be a fun game for Bama fans. We're going to have a lot of, you know, minute details about the 2 and 3 on the depth chart that I think the big fans are going to love here after the show.
Absolutely. And I think we're going to have a lot of that all season. So I'm definitely excited about that. The road to 16 kicks off. And with that, thanks for tuning in. This has been another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Roll Tide. Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.